This morning on WCHL, winter weather whips its way from the west. Winter storm warning Wednesday. New teachers in North Carolina got a nearly $5,000 bump in salary over the next 2 years. We've got details there. Town of Chapel Hill says there's a right price for some historic buildings.
We can't just hold on to things for nostalgia's sake.
And the filing period is open for local elections. County Commissioner Chair Barry Jacobs, among others, says he's in for one more go.
There are a number of things that need to be addressed, especially with the way that the government is changing at the state level.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carver traffic and weather together. We've got the latest on what's coming weather-wise in the next 48 hours. In championship sports, Carolina Duke Week got underway yesterday with a big win for the UNC women in Durham last night. Now all on on the men's contest in less than 48 hours and
some wacky stats around the latest renewal of Carolina Duke.
That's today in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
It's cloudy and 30 degrees in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro. It's going to be kind of a dreary day today, but certainly the best day of the rest of the week weather-wise. It only gets worse from here. Highs in the mid-30s today with a slight chance of afternoon snow. Wednesday, though, tomorrow is when the real heavy stuff comes in, and we'll have a lot to deal with. Once again, here in the Triangle. 8:06 here at WCHL. I'm Aaron Keck, filling in for Ron Stutz this morning for one more day. National Weather Service meteorologist Ryan Ellis says not to expect winter weather in the southern part of heaven until tomorrow, but then it could get ugly. I spoke with him earlier.
Today should be pretty benign if you're in the Chapel Hill area and even into the Triangle, but if you're traveling south this morning and into the early afternoon, southern portions of the state could see up to 1 to 3 inches of snow as you get closer to the South Carolina border, and a more of a mixed bag of precipitation if you're traveling down towards the coast in the Wilmington area. You'll see a lull in precipitation this afternoon and this evening, and then the main winter storm comes in overnight tonight into tomorrow morning, where the Triangle could see anywhere on the low end to a couple inches of snow all the way up to 4 inches of snow, followed by what could be the real dangerous factor, a quarter of an inch of ice or so after that into Wednesday night and into Thursday morning.
So what's our time frame on this? The heavier snow is going to fall earlier in the day on Wednesday, and then it changes over into freezing rain after that?
Yeah, you got it. The snow will be first, so Wednesday morning expect pretty much all snow, and as we get into the afternoon hours and then into the early evening, first you'll see a transition from snow to most likely sleet, and then as temperatures continue to warm, you may see a freezing rain scenario late in the day. And if you're far enough east, out towards the coastal plain and towards the coast, you may actually see a full changeover to rain before the end of this event.
Is 4 inches of snow likely, or are we looking more at 2?
I think that's really a question that's still up in the air at this point. If you're at western portions of the Triangle, so Chapel Hill probably has more of a chance at that 4 inches than, say, if you're over in Raleigh or East Raleigh.
And then the sort of looking ahead to better times question, when can we expect all of this to be out of our hair?
Well, the storm itself will be out of the area most likely on Thursday, but that doesn't mean road conditions are going to be any better for Friday. Depending on how much ice accumulation we do get, that could stick around for a little while. Although we will have some help in the fact that by Friday afternoon, temperatures will warm up into the mid-40s, and that's a lot different from the last winter storm we saw when those really cold temperatures stuck around for a few days afterwards.
Once again, that was National Weather Service meteorologist Ryan Ellis. Thanks again to him for joining us today. You can get the complete forecast on our website, chapelboro.com, any time of the day, and we'll have a look at weather coming up in a few minutes here on the news. Reminder, UNC is going to be testing its emergency sirens today between noon and 1 p.m. That test was originally supposed to take place late last month, but got postponed because of a different snowstorm that hit the area. We, of course, are dealing with snow this week, but not till tomorrow, so it looks like that will go ahead as scheduled. You'll hear the sirens if you're on campus downtown or near the Friday Center or Carolina North, basically wherever a campus building should be. The purpose is to test the Alert Carolina system. UNC will also send a text message to about 50,000 cell phones registered by students, faculty, and staff. Chapel Hill Town Council met last night, and council members may be ready to part with some historic town properties if the right buyer can be found. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Town council members say it might be time to hand over a Chapel Hill landmark to a new owner.
We can't just hold on to things for nostalgia's sake.
That's Maria Palmer talking about the building at 523 East Franklin Street that formerly housed the Chapel Hill Public Library. Although it's a striking example of modernist architecture and a repository of town history, the main floor of the building has been empty since 2010, as the town lacks the funds needed to perform extensive maintenance on the aging structure. With that in mind, the council voted unanimously last night to partner with Preservation North Carolina to identify potential buyers for the site. The property at 523 East Franklin is under a conservation easement, meaning any new owner would be prohibited from demolishing the building or altering its appearance. Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt said the right buyer would respect the property's unique history.
I think the value there is that the building itself stays and that we preserve its architecture and its place and that we find someone who can take care of it.
Council members were less comfortable with the concept of selling the old town hall building at the corner of Columbia and West Rosemary. Here's Lee Storo.
For that building, I think I'm going to have a really hard time, even with a preservation easement, even with working with Preservation North Carolina, and giving up a public building like that that is smack dab in the middle of our downtown.
The Old Town Hall was constructed in 1938 and has been listed on the National Register for Historic Places since 1990. It's currently occupied by the IFC for use as a men's shelter and community kitchen. Once the IFC relocates to a new building on Homestead Road, the town must decide what to do with the property. Staffers estimate it would cost at least $2.5 million to renovate the space for municipal use. But council members balked at the idea of selling it, instead suggesting a range of possible uses, including grocery store, innovation hub, or nonprofit center. By a unanimous vote, the council asked the town manager to explore all possible options for the Old Town Hall building. And Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt stressed that neither property would be changing hands anytime soon.
I hope everybody knows that's not a commitment to sell. That's authorization to talk.
Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
That was from last night's meeting of the town council. Tonight, Carborough Alderman will discuss a recent ban on parking in public lots after 3 a.m. The rule, which essentially closes public parking lots from 3 to 5 in the morning, was put in place this summer in response to complaints about downtown parking overflowing in residential areas. But some on the board are worried the rule change could prompt bar patrons to drive after drinking in order to avoid getting a possible parking ticket. In addition to revisiting the late-night parking ban, board members will also review progress towards a comprehensive downtown parking master plan. That board meeting is tonight, 7:30, in Carborough Town Hall. County commissioners also meeting tonight at a work session to discuss the timing of a possible bond referendum. Orange County leaders are considering a $100 million bond package to fund school and county construction projects, but board members are split on whether it should go on the ballot this November or next November. In order to appear on the ballot this year, county commissioners and the school boards would need to come up with a final list of projects by early June. That's a quick timeline, and some say that's too soon to plan major renovations for the county's aging schools. But others worry if the board opts to wait until next year, countywide voter turnout may be low, as only municipal races will appear on the ballot. It's an odd-numbered year. Commissioners will consider both timelines when the board meets tonight at 7 o'clock at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. Speaking of elections and the Board of Commissioners, Board Chair Barry Jacobs says he's decided to seek re-election to make sure the changing of the guard runs smoothly.
I thought about it. I had not intended to do so, but there are a number of things that need to be addressed, especially with the way that the government is changing at the state level, and also the tremendous turnover in Orange County government.
There are and will be a lot of new faces in county government. Four first-term commissioners, a new manager, and a new sheriff when all is said and done.
I will serve as a bridge between the people who came before me, who upheld a lot of the values and policies policies that we hold important, and hopefully be able to bring those forward before I step aside.
Longtime Orange County Commissioner Alice Gordon announced she won't be seeking re-election, prompting Chapel Hill Carver School Board Vice Chair Mia Burrows to seek the seat representing District 1. There's a seat open for District 2. Incumbent Earl McKee will be challenged by Bingham resident Mark Markopoulos for that seat representing rural Orange County. For the at-large seat that Jacobs holds, he's got a primary challenger too. Bonnie Hauser will take him on for the at-large seat. Jacobs was first elected to the board in 1998. He was reelected in 2002, 2006, and 2010. He says the number one thing the board and the county need to focus on going forward is remembering the issues that are at the county's foundation.
We need to protect what's important to us as the General Assembly tries to attack it, whether that's education or the environment or helping those who are least able to help themselves, whether it's the unemployed or people who are on food stamps or people who are just trying to make ends meet.
Filing period began yesterday and runs through Friday, February 28th. For information on filing locations and other details, you can get the story on our website, chapelboro.com. Number of big primaries this year for local races, of course, Bonnie Hauser versus Barry Jacobs for that at-large seat, Earl McKee facing Mark Markopoulos, the challenger for District 2. The sheriff's race is going to be crowded. Larry Fawcett, Buddy Parker, and Andy Cagle all filed to run yesterday. A couple more names have already indicated that they are interested in filing to run for that seat as well. It's 8:15, time now. For traffic and weather together, this traffic report brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Whether you need a new watch battery, an engagement ring, or that custom piece you've been dreaming of, Grimble Jewelers is there for you, Chapel Hill's premier full-service jewelers in the Village Plaza next to Whole Foods. Now with traffic once again, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Aaron. Traffic picking up a little bit right now. That's good news. 15501 northbound between NC 86 and Manning Drive, seeing minor to moderate delays. NC 4 heading eastbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, also seeing minor to moderate delays. A little bit heavier on Franklin Street between Estes Drive and Columbia. That is heading westbound towards downtown Franklin Street and downtown Chapel Hill. Be on the lookout for that. Otherwise, things moving smoothly. I-40 looking pretty good right now. Might be seeing a little bit of a delay from Wade Avenue up to the Airport Aviation Parkway area heading westbound on I-40. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And time now for your weather report. This one brought to you by WCHL Championship Sports. Speaking of Rand Northam, don't miss a special broadcast of high school basketball this Friday night as Rand brings you the Chapel Hill girls basketball team's attempt to close out an undefeated regular season against Cardinal Gibbons. Broadcast begins Friday night at 6:30 and can be heard right here on WCHL. It'll be the end of a very big week for local basketball. More on UNC basketball, of course, coming up in sports in a couple minutes. Unfortunately, it's also going to be a very big week for snow in the Triangle as well. We've got a winter storm warning taking effect tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock and continuing until 6 p.m. Thursday. That's when we'll see the worst of the weather. Again, as you heard from Ryan Ellis, upwards of 4 inches of snow possible for the Chapel Hill, Orange County area with, if that wasn't enough, a little bit of ice on top of that. Right now, it's 30 degrees and cloudy in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro. It's going to be cloudy all day today. Highs in the mid-30s, so it's going to be dreary and cold, but certainly better today than it will be tomorrow and Thursday. Slight chance of snow this afternoon, but not much if we get any at all. The accumulation's not coming till tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the mid-20s, and then tomorrow we start things out with snow, and then we continue with snow, and then later on in the day, it's more snow with some freezing rain and sleet mixed in. Cloudy all day, that goes without saying. Highs around 30 degrees, and we'll have anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of snow. And again, the further west in the Triangle you are, the likelier you'll see more snow. Well, here we are in the western part of the Triangle, so expect to see possibly as much as 4 inches of snow. And that's just according to the current forecast. That could even change between now and then. Tomorrow night, again, sleet and freezing rain continuing. Another quarter of an inch of ice possible on top of the snow. Overnight lows in the the upper 20s. A little bit more snow and freezing rain likely on Thursday morning into the afternoon. That chance of snow will diminish. Not much more accumulation, but we certainly won't have any chance to melt and evaporate the precipitation on the ground. So we'll still be dealing with some treacherous road conditions on Thursday and probably Friday and maybe even Saturday as well. Highs Thursday in the mid-30s, overnight lows in the mid-20s. Then the weather gets better, but again, we'll still be dealing with some refreezing overnight on Friday and Saturday, so watch out for that. Partly cloudy on Friday, highs around 40, highs in the mid-40s on Saturday, and come Sunday and Monday, we'll be back up into the lower 50s, so that'll be nice, but some nasty weather to get through before we get there. 819 here at WCHL, Championship Sports up next.
Enjoy culinary delights at the Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of the only Forbes 4-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn, inviting you to savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients. It's all created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team and will be a meal you won't soon forget. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant at the Carolina Inn, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
How much should a good kitchen cost? Hi, I'm Bill Cederberg of Cederberg Kitchens and Additions. Since 1986, we've been helping Chapel Hillians fix up their kitchens, baths, basements, and everything in between, turning your dream into reality without busting your budget. We're an Angie's List Super Service Award winner 3 years running with 3 decades of repeat customers. Why tackle remodeling yourself? Let Cederberg Kitchens and Additions guide you through the whole process. Find us on Facebook and visit us at CederbergKitchens.com. Cederberg Kitchens and Additions, our team, your home.
Have you been to Carbur lately? You just couldn't make this place up. February is For the Love of Carbur Month, and there is so much to see and do, like the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival. Acts from New York, L.A., Chicago, far and near, here to perform as the next generation of comedy talent. Hashtag NCCAF takes place February 6th through the 16th in the heart of Carbur. Come to Carbur and feel free. Unwind, create, taste, play, and be yourself. Follow us on Facebook at For the Love of Carbur.
I'm David Fitch of Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Just like on the basketball court, teamwork is what you need to take on any home project. Stop by and team up with Fitch Lumber and Hardware to score big on your upcoming goals. We can help. Get the local home court advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carbur, or call us at 919-942-3153. And as always, thanks for your business and continuing to make Fitch Lumber and Hardware a family tradition.
And you just heard that mention of the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival. Just an update on that. All of the events are still on for the rest of the week, in spite of the snow. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you this hour by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, and also still on in spite of the snow, Carolina men's basketball tomorrow night at the Smith Center, taking on the Duke Blue Devils. It is the highlight of the year on the Chapel Hill calendar, and joining us now via telephone is the voice of the Tar Heels, Mr. Jones Angel. And Jones, thank you so much for joining us. It is going to be an exciting day tomorrow, weather or no weather.
Yeah, it will be. And what an interesting twist all this weather has put onto the game. So many people are concerned about whether or not they're going to be able to get to the game or see the game or if the game will still be held. And as you mentioned, it would really take a very severe weather event for this game not to go on as scheduled, primarily because Duke is so close. I mean, if both teams can get to the arena and they can have at least two officials there as well, then they're going to go ahead and get the game played as scheduled. So it's definitely an interesting twist to what was already a big game coming up.
It's a little coincidental. I was talking with Art Chansky about the Maryland game just a couple of days ago, and he was reminiscing about the classic game about 14 years back when it snowed so badly that no one could get to the game, and they just threw open the doors and let the students came in. So not this wouldn't be the first time we had a snow event sort of causing an extra level of excitement at the Smith Center.
And, you know, a lot of people, Aaron, have actually referenced that game as to whether or not the Tar Heels might do something like that again. And it's just way too early to even have an opinion on something like that. It's going to have to wait and see, you know, if it gets to the first television timeout or something of the game. And there's only a couple thousand people there, but they may end up trying to do something different at that point. But just still way too early to be able to tell if they could do something that dramatic. But certainly that night in the Smith Center, it was a big home court advantage, and when Duke's there, regardless of who's in those seats, it's going to be pretty loud. So we'll have to wait and see.
We'll keep an eye on it. And of course, it is the Duke game. It is certainly an electric atmosphere every time in the Smith Center. You've got to go through similar preparations for every single game, Jones. But how exciting is it for you, these big rivalry games, and especially this one, Duke in the Smith Center? What extra is it for you for a game like this?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's always exciting to have such a great perspective of the game, like we're fortunate enough to do, sit in our seats there for the radio broadcast. And just to be down there on the floor and, you know, to be able to see two Hall of Fame coaches right there on their benches working and trying to get their teams in best positions to win and feeling the energy in the building. And really that goes for whether you're in the Smith Center or over in Durham and in Cameron. I mean, the energy level and the excitement level is so high in both those venues for this particular game that it always does give you a little kind of extra rush of adrenaline, and you're focused in even maybe that much more, and it really is something fun. And while we're certainly not out there on the court playing, it's neat to be just a very tiny little bit of the action right there in the middle of all of it, and it certainly is a lot of fun, and then looking forward to tomorrow night.
And everyone always remembering their favorite memories of Carolina Duke basketball. And every single time you get a chance to watch a game at the Smith Center or Cameron, it's always a treat and a privilege. What is your favorite memory of Carolina Duke?
Oh, gosh, there have been so many. You know, I think just as far as being on the air, you know, I really do remember that Tyler Hansbrough's freshman year when they went over there on senior night for Duke and were able to get the first of what ended up being four consecutive wins in Durham for that particular class with Tyler and Danny Green and Bobby Fraser and others. And, you know, that was a really fun one because Carolina was playing really well, but a big underdog at the time because Duke was so good and was playing at home. And J.J. Redick's senior night and all those things, that one was fun. And, you know, the Marvin Williams game as well in 2005 is always one to remember where Carolina had really had trouble with Duke and had lost a couple in a row, and Cardinals had lost in very frustrating fashion earlier in the season over in Cameron, but we're the better team, I think, that year. Of course, ended up winning the championship, but had the big comeback and a cap by Marvin stick back there at the end with about 20 seconds left, and yeah, that's one I'll always remember as well, and one that Roy Williams still calls the loudest he's ever heard the Smith Center ever, and it's hard to argue with him. It was surprised the roof didn't rip in part in that one. It was so loud. So you could really go through. Those are pretty recent, honestly, Aaron. I mean, you could go through the years and come up with great ones for both sides, if you're a Duke fan or a Carolina fan. So just a part of what makes this rivalry so much fun.
Very true. We're talking with Jones Angel. And Jones, before I let you go, take a look ahead at this game tomorrow night. UNC on a 5-game winning streak. They're really rolling now after that 1-4 start. What has changed with the Tar Heels in these last 5 games to make them click? And what do they need to do in order to overcome Duke tomorrow night?
Well, yeah, I'll answer the first part of that, Aaron, by parroting a little bit of what Roy Williams always says, and that's Carolina's playing with just a higher sense of urgency. And I thought he did a really good job describing that because he says that a lot. And he was asked, I believe, Friday in his press conference just what that meant. And it wasn't just, you know, hustling more or diving on the floor for loose balls. It was really an increased level of execution, an increased level of mental acuity on the floor, an increased level of effort, and really just getting, as he says, lost in the game for the 2 hours that you're out there playing. And when you're on the court, that is the most important thing to you. And I think you've really seen that with Carolina in that no matter what the situation has been, whether they've jumped out to big leads or like on Saturday when they fell down by 9 points early on, they just kept playing and doing the things that they were out there trying to do, and eventually it worked out for them. And so I know that's kind of a simple answer, but I do think that is the best answer right now. I think you can also go to some more technical things like Carolina shooting the ball a little bit better. The Tar Heels are turning their opponents over more. And they're just continuing to hit the offensive glass, which has been a big part of Carolina's offense all season long. As far as what they need to do against Duke, I mean, Duke shoots the ball so well from the outside. How do you try to slow down that three-point attack where the Blue Devils have 4 guys shooting 45% or better? That's always a challenge, but I think it starts with containing the dribble drive. You can't let guys get into the paint where then other players have to help you defensively, leaving shooters open. If you do that against Duke, it really hurts you.
All right, always a privilege to talk to you. It's going to be an exciting game tomorrow night. Jones Angel, thank you so much. Safe driving tomorrow, and have fun at the game.
Thanks for having me on, as always. Thanks for all you guys do for us, and looking forward to a fun one tomorrow night.
All right, thanks a lot. 828 here at WCHL. We're going to take a quick break. We'll have Art Shansky's take on Carolina Duke coming up in the second half of the hour. We've got to get to weather immediately following this.
Join Cornucopia Cancer Support Center for two exciting events and be a hero to anyone affected by cancer. The Chocolate 5K is Saturday, February 15th at UNC. And the popular A Chocolate Affair follows on Sunday, February 16th at the Sheraton in Chapel Hill. Bid on one-of-a-kind auction items and enjoy decadent desserts from area restaurants. For more information, visit us at cancersupport4u.org. Thanks, WCHL, for supporting Cornucopia.
On February 14th, celebrate Valentine's Day at Foster's Market Chapel Hill, offering a three-course farm-style dinner with a wine pairing, all for just $50 per person. Crab-stuffed filet of beef with lemon hollandaise, sweet potato gratin, house-made sausage-stuffed mushrooms, triple chocolate trifle with macerated raspberries, and more, including a vegetarian option. Stop by and see us on MLK Boulevard in Chapel Hill or give us a call today for reservations, 967-3663. Foster's Market Chapel Hill, your local home for a special Valentine's Day.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Simply Tungsten. It's 80% off a $249 tungsten carbide ring, available now for $49. Tungsten carbide rings are twice as hard as steel, four times harder than titanium, and virtually unable to scratch. For decades, tungsten carbide has been used in mining, aerospace, and other industries that have required a metal that is extremely hard and long-lasting. Don't miss out on the chance to own one of these classic yet durable rings. It's 80% off from Simply Tungsten. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This weather report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers, good to go. Right now, 31 degrees in Chapel Hill, 30 degrees in Carrboro and Hillsboro. Cloudy skies, going to be cloudy all day today with highs in the mid-30s. Not great, but better than it will be tomorrow. Slight chance of snow late this afternoon, but we won't get much if we get any at all. Overnight lows in the mid-20s. Then tomorrow, it's going to be nasty. Cloudy skies all day. We've got a winter storm warning taking effect tomorrow at 9 a.m., continuing until Thursday at 6 p.m. 2 to 4 inches of snow expected, with a quarter of an inch of ice on top of that. Highs around 30, a little bit more snow in store on Thursday.
CBS News Report, I'm Dave Barrett. Shirley Temple was 85, died from natural causes at her home near San Francisco. Correspondent Steve Futterman.
In the 1930s, she was perhaps the biggest movie star in the world, and she helped lift America's spirits during one of its most difficult times. Author Robert Windeler.
She got the country through the Depression.
There were many memorable Shirley Temple films. In The Little Princess, she plays a young girl who refuses to believe her father has been killed in war.
Don't you say that.
She was a little girl who could laugh and cry, who could sing and dance, and she helped millions forget their problems.
FDR once said, as long as our country has Shirley Temple, we will be all right. She received a special Oscar in 1935 for her outstanding contribution to screen entertainment. At age 21, she retired. She likened politics to acting and had two diplomatic stints as ambassador to Ghana and Czechoslovakia. CBS News Special Report. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Morning, 8:32 here at WCHL. Aaron Keck with you on the morning news today, filling in for Ron Stutz for one more day. National Weather Service meteorologist Ryan Ellis says this winter weather system that's coming through tomorrow is going to look different from the last one that came through. The last one dropped the heaviest frozen precipitation off to the east. This one, not so much.
You're at western portions of the triangle, so Chapel Hill probably has more of a chance at that 4 inches than, say, if you're over in Raleigh or East Raleigh.
Triangle projected to get hit with 2 to 4 inches of snow between Wednesday and Thursday. Again, winter storm warning taking effect at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning when the snow is expected to begin to fall. It's going to continue all day. That winter storm warning expires on Thursday at 6 p.m. Ella says the worst of the weather won't arrive until late tonight, early Wednesday. Again, at that time, the winter storm warning kicks in. But he says that's not true for the entire state. North Carolina as a whole will start to get snow sometime today.
Today should be pretty benign if you're in the Chapel Hill area and even into the Triangle. But if you're traveling south this morning and into the early afternoon, southern portions of the state could see up to 1 to 3 inches of snow as you get closer to the South Carolina border.
To hear the full interview with meteorologist Ryan Ellis and get the complete forecast, you can find this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Well, new news from UNC. Carolina clinical counselor and academic advisor Mary Willingham says she's considering a lawsuit against Provost Jim Dean for his comments about her release of data to the public. In an interview with the Daily Tar Heel, Willingham said she's singling out Provost Dean because, quoting now, he's the one that said I was lying, and he's the one that said it was a travesty to the university. Willingham released her research to CNN on January 8th, more than a month ago now, saying an alarming number of UNC student athletes can't read. Carolina followed that report with a study of its own that debunked some of those numbers. Immediately following the release by UNC, the Institutional Review Board, or IRB for short, suspended Willingham's research and said she must reapply. The concern revolved around the use of student athletes' names in the report. Willingham told WCHL about a week and a half ago on January 31st that she was weighing all her options for her next steps. Now the DTH says she's even consulting a whistleblower protection agency along with her attorney. UNC is currently conducting a more in-depth review of the data and the claims. The university has not commented on who is on that review panel or when the findings are scheduled to be released. Certainly an ongoing conversation there. North Carolina's Democratic Party chair says he'll name a new interim executive director later this week, and it appears former national NAACP leader Benjamin Chavis is his choice. Party chair Randy Voller, former Pittsburgh mayor, told fellow Democrats yesterday that he'll announce a replacement tomorrow for fired Robert Dempsey. That'll be on Wednesday. Party first vice chair Patsy Kiever says in an interview that Voller told her Sunday it was his plan to hire Chavis as the new executive director. Voller declined to comment on that earlier yesterday when asked about it. He said any replacement would be an interim choice and would still need the approval of the party's executive council to become a permanent. Staying with state-level news, Governor Pat McCrory and other state leaders announced a plan yesterday to increase starting teachers' salaries by nearly 14% in the next 2 years, but no immediate increase was mentioned for teaching professionals already in place. This year, starting teacher pay would increase $2,200 up to $33,000. Next year, an additional $2,000 would be added, taking salaries up to $35,000. That according to the plan as announced. Supplemental pay for teachers who completed their coursework for their master's degrees has been extended up until July 1st of 2013 as well. That, of course, has been an ongoing debate, too. No discussion, though, of raising teacher salaries for those who are just getting their start. The announcement to raise incoming teacher salaries by more than $4,000 in the next 2 years was made at Governor McCrory's former high school, Ragsdale. A number of key GOP leaders on hand. In addition to Governor McCrory, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest was also there, as was Senate Leader Phil Berger and House Speaker Tom Tillis. Staying with education news, more North Carolina high school students are doing advanced work and more of them are getting college credit by passing a broadly watched test, part of a national trend. The New York-based College Board said in a report earlier today that 31% of North Carolina's high school grads in 2013 took an AP exam, advanced placement exam, during high school. That's up from 24% a decade earlier. About 19% of graduates scored high enough on the test last year to actually earn a college credit. That's an increase from 15% earning credit a decade earlier. That increase was actually one of the smallest jumps in the country, though. The College Board says 17 states exceeded the national average of graduates scoring high enough to earn a college credit. North Carolina in the top half of states, but they're 18th on that list, just below the national average. All right, time now for a quick look at news around town. The Owosso Board is inviting you to come ask questions and comment on their draft strategic plan at a meeting on Thursday, February 13th at 7 p.m. in the Owosso Building on Jones Ferry Road. I'm going to go ahead and add weather permitting to that. No word yet on any postponements, but of course we're going to get some snow between now and then, so we'll keep an eye on the timing of that for you. You can send your comments and questions via email or by letter or fax. And again, that meeting currently scheduled for Thursday, 7 p.m. in the Owosso Building. You can read the draft strategic plan or get contact information by visiting this News Around Town page on our website, chapelboro.com. Chapel Hill Town Government is moving out of Town Hall, part of it at least. Renovation's about to begin at Town Hall to repair the damage from last year's flood, make some other layout changes as well to improve customer service. In the meantime, the mayor's office has moved to the Chapel Hill Public Library, along with the office of the town manager and seven other town staffers. Everyone will move back into Town Hall when the renovations are finished. It's 8:39. More local news after this.
This is a message for newcomers to the Triangle. If you've lived here any length of time, you already know this, so bear with us. But if you're new, one of the great secrets around here is Diamonds Direct Crabtree. It's a place where you can buy certified, hand-picked, top-quality diamonds straight from the diamond cutters. Now, if you're from another city, this might be a new concept for you because this is as far from an old-fashioned jewelry store as you can get. You see, the people who own Diamonds Direct used to be the diamond suppliers for high-end jewelry stores all over the United States. They have partnerships with diamond miners in Russia, and they have their own diamond cutters in Tel Aviv. All this means bigger, better quality diamonds for a lot less than you're used to paying, wherever you came from. And that goes for you New Yorkers, too. No offense. Diamonds Direct Crabtree. After all, it's only fitting that America's most advanced, fastest-growing region deserves America's fastest-growing and most advanced diamond powerhouse. Diamonds Direct Crabtree, official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes and the Carolina Panthers, just outside Crabtree Valley Mall, across from Fleming's.
Will you be our neighbor? If you or someone you know is moving or building a home in Chapel Hill, Harrington Bank is your first stop in financing your new dream home. Harrington Bank offers competitive rates and products for construction loans, renovation loans, home equity loans, and refinancing options. Let's be neighbors and give us a call today. Harrington Bank is conveniently located at Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Orange County residents can recycle cups, tubs, buckets, and other rigid plastics that aren't bottles using the purple dumpsters at any of the county's five convenience centers. Plastic lawn chairs, planters, and toys without metal axles or batteries can also go inside these special collection dumpsters. For more details, please call 919-968-2788 and remember to recycle all you can.
8:41 here at WCHL. Aaron Keck with you on the morning news, filling in for Ron Stutz today. Hope he's getting better soon. It is 8:40 on Tuesday, and that means it's time for Adopt a Pet, one of our favorite times of the week. Joining us now in the studio are Sarah Fallon and Rachel Williamson from Orange County Animal Services, and joining them is Holly. Sarah, first of all, great to see you. I hardly ever get to. We've been talking during the break. No. We talk on the phone all the time. Sarah comes in. I'm like, hey, who are you? Nice to meet you. It's like, yeah, we've talked on the phone 1,000 times, but we never see each other in person. So good to see you.
It's good to see you.
And tell us about Holly. Holly is a beautiful dog.
Holly is a Basset Hound mix, a female. Her little story is that she was a stray. She came to us, and so we named her Holly because we got her around the holidays. She was adopted, and evidently she ran away from her new family. And so she was lost, and animal control was called to pick her up from I don't know where. And so she was brought back to the shelter. Since she has a microchip already, we contacted the owners, and since they had not had her since they adopted her, they went ahead and surrendered her back to the shelter. So she is already spayed. She already has a microchip.
How old is she?
And she's a year old.
Okay.
So she still acts like a puppy. We don't know much about her since she was a stray, but she seems to get along with other dogs when they walk her. And she was a little hesitant about getting in the car, but once we put her in the car, she rode very well.
And you've had her for a couple of months now?
No.
Since
well,
about
we had
holidays?
Her. We had her for a couple of weeks, and she was adopted, and then she was lost, and then she was just recently brought back.
Okay, so Rachel, I'll turn it over to you. Tell us about Holly. What is she like?
She's got a sweet personality. She's very bouncy. She's got a little bit of energy to her, but she walks great on a leash. I was walking her up and down the path. She doesn't pull you. She just, you know, wants to go along with you.
And really friendly, too, right?
Very friendly.
She's licking my hand.
You know,
I'm on the wrong side of the room.
I will tell you, though, she's a Basset mix, but she doesn't look like a Basset. She's what I refer to as a low rider. You know, she's long, and she is low to the ground, and she has the Basset feet. But then she's got this head, this brown head that almost looks a little big for her body. So she's really cute.
Yeah.
Very sweet girl.
Almost like a beagle, isn't it? A little, like, tiny little bit. I just got a glimpse of her. Not quite.
I don't know.
But
what'd you say you thought she might be?
She's got like a shepherd head.
Yeah, maybe a
shepherd mix head almost.
Okay. Shepherd basset hound mix.
Maybe there. Beagle thrown in for good measure.
Sure, throw it in. But a really, really a beautiful, sweet brown dog, a year old, and looking for a good home, and already spayed, already with a microchip. So
we are celebrating Valentine's Day this month,
yes.
And so her adoption fee is half price.
Half price,
she's $60.
Yeah.
And she's already ready to go.
So this is a perfect month to come on into Animal Services and check out the dogs and cats and check out Holly, because she is such a gorgeous, gorgeous dog. Sarah, Rachel, thanks for joining us. How can people get in touch with Animal Services?
Well, they can come by and visit us at 1601 Eubanks Road in Chapel Hill. And Holly is in DA, that stands for Dog Adoption 13. Mm-hmm. They could go to our website, www.orangecountync.gov/animalservices, and pull up adoptable dogs, and there she'll be. And they can call us and ask us any more questions, 919-942-7387. And I'm going to find somebody to take a picture of her, and she'll be up on
chapelboro.com.
That's it.
Very soon today, we'll have a picture of her up on the website as well, and you don't want to miss it. Thank you guys so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you so much, and Ron, get well.
Yes, Ron, get well very quickly. I hate getting up in the morning. If for no other reason than that. All right, Sarah, Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, traffic and weather together.
A 2013 independent survey conducted by Home Care Pulse ranked Home Watch caregivers of the Triangle significantly higher than the industry standard in compassion, knowledge, reliability, flexibility, and overall quality of service. For 10 years, Home Watch Caregivers has helped over 2,000 families in our community, providing hourly and 24-hour personal care to people of all ages with all types of needs. Visit us online at homewatchcaregivers.com or give us a call, 919-960-6038. Home Watch Caregivers, let our family care for yours.
It's Valentine's Day, and you're in a hurry to find a gift that tells her you really put some thought into it. So you stop by the grocery store, get a box of chocolates, a few carnations. Of course, the good cards are all gone, and you walk in the door at home. Happy Valentine's Day, honey, you say when she walks up to you. She looks at the candy, the flower, the cheesy card, and she knows you've come straight from the grocery store again. You hardly spent a minute thinking about her. I'm Berkeley Grimble. And my friend, you can just as quickly stop by at Grimble Jewelers. Instead of the grocery store, come to the hardware store for women. Our gifts start at $50, and we have lots of beautiful jewelry for under $300. And when you hand her a beautifully wrapped box from our store, she'll realize that you didn't just stop at the grocery store. And that means more to her than you probably realize. Grimble Jewelers, this Valentine's Day, surprise her with the gift that says you're never in a hurry when it comes to loving her.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Some wacky stats around the latest renewal of Carolina Duke. This is Archansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. Going into Wednesday night's game at the Smith Center, Duke has won 7 of the last 9 meetings with the Tar Heels and 10 of the last 15 in Chapel Hill. Yet UNC has had a more productive last 10 years, winning 2 national championships and reaching 3 Final Fours, and also finishing first in the ACC 6 times. Duke doesn't come close to matching that, except for winning the ACC tournament almost every year, and that one NCAA title in 2010. This will mark the 3rd straight game against Duke that Carolina has entered unranked, which has not happened since the Matt Doherty disaster. The Heels are also trying to avoid a 3-game losing streak to the Blue Bellies for the first time since Ole Roy's first 3 tries back in the saddle. Williams did win the next 7 out of 9 against Duke, thanks to a guy named Tyler renaming Hansbrough Indoor Stadium for 4 straight years. Duke has been ranked forever since Mike Krzyzewski came back from a bad back after going back-to-back and back in the Final Four for a remarkable 7th time in 9 years in the late 80s and early 90s. That's when Dean Smith had ranked teams for 30 years until he retired. So put all that into the Cuisinart, and you come up with this little ditty for you youngins. The last time Duke and Carolina played and neither team was ranked was in 1960, when the clubs were coached by men named Bubas and McGuire. This renewal matches the best 3-point shooting team in the ACC versus the best 3-point defending team. Guess who's who? So once again, it could come down to how many bombs the Blue Devils make, and please don't rip our hearts out again by nailing one at the buzzer. That was 2 years ago, and the Dukies got off the bus last season making trays as they blew out the Heels on the senior night for, guess who, Dexter Strickland. Now there's a trivia question for you. Actually, Carolina leads in ACC-only games in many more stats than does Duke, like rebounding and rebounding margin, assists and steals. So this game could very well come down to defense and inside play rather than it being a laser show from outside. If the firm of Kennedy Meeks, James, Johnson and McAdoo can lay down the law in the paint against Emile Jefferson and Plumlee 3, we could have one big snowball fight on Franklin Street come midnight. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
.849, time now for traffic and weather together. This traffic report brought to you by Glass Half Full. Glass Half Full is the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Good food, fine wine, lots of fun too. Online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com. Now with traffic once again, Rand Northam.
Well, don't put your snow chains on yet. We're not quite there. Maybe tomorrow. Right now, traffic moving smoothly for the most part. 15501 southbound, seeing some minor to moderate delays between I-40 and Ephesus Church Road. 15501 southbound between NC-54 and Manning Drive, seeing a little bit heavier delays there. Estes Drive heading westbound between MLK and Franklin Street, seeing some minor to moderate delays, and MLK heading northbound away from Franklin Street to Estes Drive, seeing some minor to moderate delays as well. Otherwise, things moving smoothly for the most part. I-40 moving smoothly, the Durham Freeway, as well as NC-54. Not any problems there. Franklin Street moving nicely as well. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, and time now for WCHL's weather report brought to you by WCHL Championship Sports. Don't miss a special rebroadcast of Roy Williams Live tonight at 8 p.m. leading up to the big game against Duke tomorrow night. It is that special time of the year, Carolina Duke Week. Nobody has you covered like WCHL. We've got a winter storm warning taking effect tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., extending until 6 p.m. on Thursday. That's when we'll get the white stuff. It is 31 degrees right now in Chapel Hill, 30 in Carrboro and Hillsboro. Cloudy right now. It's going to be kind of a cloudy, cold, dreary day today, but certainly better today than we'll see tomorrow. Highs in the mid-30s today. Could see a couple of snowflakes this afternoon, but nothing more than that. Overnight lows in the mid-20s. Tomorrow is when we get the bad weather. Cloudy skies. Highs around 30. Snow all day, mainly in the afternoon. Accumulation of 2 to 4 inches, probably closer to four than 2 in the western part of the triangle. And that's good news on top of everything else, but there you go. And then in addition to that, later on in the day on Wednesday, once the temperature picks up enough, that snow will change over to freezing rain, sleet, wintry mix. So on top of 4 inches of snow, we could also get 1/4 of an inch of ice on top of that. So even worse. Overnight lows in the upper 20s on Wednesday night. Good chance of snow and freezing rain continuing into the morning on Thursday, tapering off in the afternoon. We'll have highs in the mid-30s, overnight lows in the mid-20s, and then Friday will end the week with partly cloudy skies, highs around 40. It will be nicer, but temperatures will dip below freezing on Thursday night and then again on Friday night. So the chance of melting and refreezing could certainly continue to cause road conditions to be treacherous on Friday, even into Saturday as well. So we'll keep a close eye on that, too. 8:52 here at WCHL. It's that time of the day. If you remember from an hour ago, Dr. Wayne Pond's word of the day, give us a call right now in the studio, 919-929-WCHL. That's 929-WCHL. Give us the word, the spelling, and the definition, and you could win a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
My name is Jeff Kennedy. I have been practicing dentistry in Chapel Hill since 1984. I'm one of the dentists at the Kennedy Dental Group. In our office, we're thinking about what is unique and where our philosophy falls, and we came up with the term of practical dentistry. That's what we feel like we try to practice each day. It's based on the notion that we want all of our patients first and foremost to be healthy and then to keep them healthy. People bring all kinds of issues, but frequently they're nervous or they're distracted. Sometimes they're in pain, and they really need us to hear their concerns. It's not always what's obvious on a technical level to a dentist, but maybe what the patient is saying or what's even spoken between the lines that we need to hear. And in patients, actually, we feel like these folks are our friends, and we do our best to put them at ease. We offer oral conscious sedation for anxious patients, and it really helps to kind of get them over that fear, maybe get them healthy again. Right now we're up on the west end of Franklin Street, but we knew that there was a change in store, and when the old WCHL building was on the market, just felt like it was meant to be. It's directly across the street from Eastgate Shopping Center. They can look us up at kennedydentalgroup.com. They can call our office number at 919-967-9291.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL. Local service, daily insights.
Concatenate was the word of the day, courtesy of Wayne Pond, C-O-N-C-A-T-E-N-A-T-E, a verb meaning to link together in a series or a chain, a concatenate. Speaking of linking together in a series or a chain, we've got yet another in a round of snow coming tomorrow. Congratulations to Geraldine Jennings of Mebane, winner of a $10 gift card to Cruisers. She had the word of the day, the spelling, and the definition, so she wins $10 to Cruisers. Congratulations to her. We'll give you another chance to do it all over again tomorrow morning. Quick look at WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you this hour by AT&T. Tar Heel men's basketball team takes center stage tomorrow. Snow, ice, doesn't matter. They'll do it anyway. Primetime, 9 p.m. tip-off in the Smith Center against Duke. Head coach Roy Williams says he's hesitant to predict his team's future success, but he says mentally it's important to build off the momentum of this ongoing five-game winning streak.
You know, and I've said before, the more you make, the more you make. It's in golf, the more putts you make, the more you make. I'm not saying that I don't like this, but I'm sure that Dickens not going to say, oh, we're going to win the next 26 because we won five games in a row. But I like the way we're doing some things, and I think that the kids have gotten more confident, and I think that's a huge part of it.
Game time is 9 p.m. from the Smith Center. Be careful driving there if you're headed to the game. There will be snow on the ground. Our coverage on WCHL begins at 7 o'clock with a special hour-long edition of Countdown to Tip-Off. It all got underway yesterday, Duke Carolina week, as the Tar Heel women's basketball team got a thrilling 89-78 upset win over Duke in Cameron Indoor, snapping a three-game losing streak for them. WCHL's Matt Oakes looks back.
Cameron is just historically just a tough place to play in. So, I mean, I didn't expect it any less tonight. But what I was surprised at was at the fact that I didn't really care. And it didn't bother me a one bit. And I'm proud of myself for having that mental toughness. And it didn't seem to bother the rest of the team either. And so, you know, I'm just really proud of our mental toughness tonight.
That was freshman Diamond DeShields following her team's determined victory at Cameron Indoor Stadium Monday night. The number 17 Tar Heels toppled number 3 Duke despite some questionable foul calls that had associate head coach Andrew Calder and many of the Carolina players all fired up. But it was a statement game for DeShields. The steely freshman, displaying maturity beyond her years, simply would not be denied on this night, putting up a career-best 30 points and delivering a determined effort to lead the scrappy Tar Heels to the victory. Coach Calder says he was proud of the heart displayed by his team in a hostile road atmosphere.
You know, in the end, the players did it. They got together and said, you know what, we're going to make a statement. We're going to make that statement tonight. And we showed our pride as being Tar Heels tonight. And they did a tremendous job.
Carolina shot out to a quick 6-2 lead and never gave up the advantage the remainder of the night, despite the late runs by Duke to close within 4 points in the second half. After the game, DeShields, Alicia Gray, who posted 24 points of her own, and Coach Calder credited inspirational speeches by both head coach Sylvia Hatchell and UNC women's soccer coach Anson Dorrance on Sunday for giving the team the edge they needed to pull off the upset.
I want to thank Coach Hatchell again. Gave us a motivational speech, and Coach Anson Dorrance, who spoke to the team yesterday, with a tremendous speech also, was really inspiring for everyone.
Coach Dorrance emphasized self-discipline, competitive fire, and self-belief, and it really seemed to pay off for Carolina in the Duke matchup. DeShields says the remarks had a big impact on her personally.
And that's all I was thinking about in the game, you know, just trying to stay steady and stay composed. That was a part of my growth, and I couldn't thank him enough for doing that, because he didn't have to. And like I said, he just put a lot of things in perspective, and it's something that I'll carry on with me for the rest of my life.
Matt Oakes with that report there. Carolina snapped a 7-game losing streak to Duke with the victory, first win at Cameron since 2008. Next up for the Tar Heel women, Thursday night, they take on Pittsburgh in Chapel Hill. Carolina men hosting Duke before that. It's 8:58. One more look at weather to wrap up this hour of the morning news after this.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Simply Tungsten. It's 80% off a $249 tungsten carbide ring, available now for $49. Tungsten carbide rings are twice as hard as steel, four times harder than titanium, and virtually unable to scratch. For decades, tungsten carbide has been used in mining, aerospace, and other industries that have required a metal that is extremely hard and long-lasting. Don't miss out on the chance to own one of these classic yet durable rings. It's 80% off from Simply Tungsten. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit DurhamTech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
This weather report brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Whether you need a new watch, battery, an engagement ring, or that custom piece you've been dreaming of, Grimble Jewelers is there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jewelers in the Village Plaza next to Whole Foods. 31 degrees in Chapel Hill, 30 in Carrboro and Hillsboro. Cloudy right now, going to be cloudy all day with highs in the mid-30s. A little bit of a chance of snow this afternoon, but no accumulation. That's coming tomorrow. Cloudy skies, 2 to 4 inches of snow, highs around 30. Winter weather warning in effect from 9 a.m. to tomorrow until 6 o'clock on Thursday.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Thanks, Penny. The new head of the Federal Reserve Board is getting ready to share her thoughts on the economy with a congressional committee. Live to Washington and CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
And Frank, Janet Yellen is set to describe a great deal of continuity with the monetary policies of her predecessor, Ben Bernanke. In prepared testimony to a House committee, she points to ongoing economic improvement while warning the labor market recovery is far from complete. She also says global market volatility does not pose a major risk to the U.S. economic outlook. Now, the Fed chair's public comments, of course, are always potential market movers, and today, extra attention's being paid to Janet Yellen's first appearance on Capitol Hill in her new post.
A winter storm's knifing through the south from the Gulf Coast toward the Carolinas. John Kraft with Georgia Power Company's worried.
Freezing rain or heavy wet snow coats the power lines, coats the trees, brings them down, tears down the lines. Those are the things that cause us the most problems, and we want to be prepared for that.
And crews have been pre-treating roads to prevent a rerun of